Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. I'm going to put a marker there today. That's where we'll camp out for the most part today. The title of my lesson was going to be Life's Direction. When I thought about that, I thought about that's usually used in reference to the information that we get that guides our points us to our goal. It's often discussed, and rightly so, the fact that God's Word is our only guide, is unequaled in its source of information. We understand it to be the only source that will direct our ways or our lives so we can reach our goal. No other book can be the spiritual atlas that we need that will get us to heaven. If we studied life's direction that way and looked at the direction God gives us, that would be a good use of our time this morning. That's not exactly the way I was going with that. The word direction can have more than one meaning. Today we'll look at the context of the traveler and the direction that his life is going. We'll see what directions that one can travel in a spiritual sense. Life's directions, lessons from Jonah. This Old Testament book is quite a bit different than many of the other books of prophecy that we know in the Old Testament. There is very little narrative that describes a prophetic message. Most of them go into great detail about the message that was to be given. This one does not. It doesn't really appear that we have the entire message that he was to give to the Assyrians in the whole book. But Jonah rather tells of one man's life, his decisions, as he has been given a directive by God. We can take, it discloses how he reacts and why, while clearly showing what God desired of him. But it also gives us a wonderful glimpse of God's outstanding attributes. As we study the book of Jonah, we can learn about ourselves as we look at this man. So we'll look at four directions that Jonah's life took throughout this story. We will see directions maybe that we've traveled in the past. We might see a bad direction that we're still going in today. We may see that the direction we're on is the correct one, and that would renew our desire to stay in that and be on that road for the rest of our lives. But I'll be asking you at times to consider each of the four directions in your life's journey. God uses this magnificent book to guide mankind, but not to guide mankind as a whole, not to guide a group, a church, a family, but to guide individuals. And so we have to take the messages and the scriptures that are provided to us and turn them, point them directly at ourselves, or they won't do us any good. Chapter 1 of Jonah. We see Jonah's first direction is away from God. It doesn't take long to figure that out. Let's read the first three verses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship, which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. I looked at some of these distances. Nineveh, on the internet, I found a couple references. I don't know if these are accurate or not, but I'll pass them on. Nineveh would have been about 500 miles from Jonah. It would have been to the east. It would have been a journey he could have made on foot or used a beast of burden, which was their normal means of travel. 500 miles is a trek, but they were used to that sort of thing. On the other hand, Nineveh was in the exact opposite way. Tarshish was in the exact opposite way. It was about 2,000 miles to the west. It was not a walk. We see that he went to Joppa and he paid the fare. And he needed to take a ship to get there. And so Jonah took the hard way. Jonah took the opposite way. Maybe he thought that if he went well away from the responsibility of completing the command of God, that would get him out of it. If he was far enough away from Nineveh, maybe God might send somebody else. Many times we don't always use the best judgment, do we? This time Jonah wasn't using his best judgment. I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem to me like Jonah really would believe that he could leave or flee from the presence of God. There were already writings and scriptures, and he was a prophet, most likely would have had some knowledge of those other scriptures. Maybe in Psalms 139, verse 7, David penned, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?" Let's read again in Jonah, beginning in verse 4, and we'll see that to make this point that I don't feel that he felt that he could get all the way from God's presence, was that he doesn't seem surprised by this storm that comes up. So let's look in verse 4. "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God. And they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the sea, lain down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, 'How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us, so that we will not perish.' Each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots, so that we learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, 'Tell us now, on whose account this calamity has struck us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you?' He said to them, 'I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' And the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, How could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, 'What should we do to you that the sea may become calm?' For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy." So I don't think he was surprised by this. When they asked him what was going on, he knew the source of this storm. We're going to learn later in chapter 4 why Jonah did this, why he went directly in opposition to God's command. But that really isn't the point, is it? The point is that he did go directly in opposition to God's command. I said earlier the applications will be pointed this morning, and I don't want you to think it's me pointing, but getting the word pointing back at each of us. You know, the word needs to come back to us. We need to let it reflect on our lives. If there's a direction that we see this morning that we're going in that doesn't align with God's, that we make changes to that direction. I say this this morning out of love. There are more than a few of us here this morning that could use a direction change, because sin strikes us all at different times. It may be in one point. It may be in 2 points. It may be that you are just rejecting God's call for you to accept salvation His way. Whatever it is, we all understand that when we're out of step with God at any point, we're going away from Him. Jonah didn't like God's instructions, so he disobeyed. What about us? What instructions do we ignore or run from? If you would just jot these scriptures down, we probably won't turn to them this morning. Most of them are well known to the group that's here this morning. But are you loving and respecting and honoring your spouse the way you should? Ephesians chapter 5, 22 directs the wife, and verse 25 directs the husband. Do we take every opportunity to encourage our fellow Christians? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 tell us that we should do that every time we have the opportunity. Or do you willingly, at your own convenience, forsake the assembling? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, we see our responsibility there to teach others. Let's turn to that scripture. Mark chapter 16. I know many of us could recite this. But verse 15 says, Jesus speaking here, and He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." We see we have a responsibility to teach others, right? We're to go to all the nations teaching, and that baptism is required for salvation. Do we take both of those points equally serious? Are you seeking to teach others? Or getting them here where they can hear the good news? Or do we just try to put the other side of this commandment off on those that haven't yet been baptized? Both are commands. Both are directions to follow. If we do not follow God's direction, we're going away from God. We're in Jonah's company. Jonah's going to change directions here. Jonah's going to change directions here. Anyone that knows the story understands that. And we'll see how he changed his direction, and maybe that can help us if we're not going in God's direction. In chapter 1, let's look at two items here. Verse 15, "So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging." And then in verse 17, we see where Jonah winds up. "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights." Jonah's on this boat and he's cast into the sea by some hesitant but willing fellow shipmates in an attempt to get the seas to calm. And we see that he's swallowed by a great fish. But when did Jonah's decision to change his direction occur? When did he change directions? Well, when we see in his prayer of the second chapter, he's in the belly of the fish. He says that he was praying before he was swallowed. So when was he? So at this point, he was in the depths of the sea. His description of what he went through in the sea is frightening to me. I guess it's probably normal, but I get a horrible feeling when I read or think about someone drowning. And Jonah there is about to drown. He describes that very well. But at this point, he wanted to seek God and change his direction. I want to look at four components that were involved in his direction change. Let's read Jonah's prayer here in chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish and said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed o'er me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapping around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. And you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I vowed I will pay, salvation is from the Lord. We see here as Jonah makes some mind changes. We'll see the four components involved in his direction change. Change began with Jonah remembering God and turning his thoughts back to him. In verse 2 it says, I called out of my distress and he answered me. You heard my voice, it says. In verse 5 through 7, water encompassed me to the point of death, and the great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth was with its bars was around me forever. And you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Not only did he remember God and turn his thoughts back to him, but he was acknowledged that his past direction wasn't pleasing to God. In verse 3, we see that he acknowledges that he was being punished here and what was happening to him. And verse 4 says, so I said, I have been expelled from your sight. When we have sin in our lives, we don't have a relationship with God. And we might as well be out of his sight, because we don't have that relationship he longs for us to have. With that, we see Jonah was thankful for his salvation. He expressed that in verse 2 a little bit, in verse 6, and verse 6 is the best one. So we see that he was thankful for his salvation. He expressed that, and so that was another step in his changing direction. In verse 9, we see Jonah was penitent, he was humbled, and so he was now committed to doing God's will. verse 9 reads again, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." We see some, his life had been vowed before to the Lord, but he wasn't paying. He was a servant. He was a prophet of God. But he hadn't been paying. He hadn't been sacrificing. But he vows now here to do better. We see a great truce here in Jonah's realization. A change of mind, a change of commitment, a change that is going to commit to changing his actions, and that leads to a change in spiritual direction. We see here that going toward God is not a few things. It's more than knowing and acknowledging that we need help. It's more than admission that we're wrong or we have sin in our life. Going toward God is about realizing God's wonderful nature, His great characteristics, and wanting to get back in line with Him because He's an awesome God. Going toward God is being aware that God created you. He has great plans for you. But this also includes some expectations of you. Going toward God is an understanding that you need God for His grace and His salvation, and embracing that fact. In going toward God, you show your appreciation by forsaking your will and doing His will, committing to live your life God's way. If you recall, there was a time in King David's life when he acted in a similar way. When he was confronted about his sin with Bathsheba, he changed directions. He repented, he cried out for mercy and forgiveness. Psalms 51 is that lament to God about that sin and his change. Saul of Tarsus too changed his direction, did he not? He wasn't persecuting Christians anymore, but he changed his direction to follow Jesus. We can read about that story in Acts chapter 9. All people at some point must make this change, must make this commitment to not go their own way, but go toward God. We're all going in some direction. If you need to go toward God, start today. Do it today. If you need to make that change, all of us would be thrilled if you do it this morning. The lesson's not over. It might be quick, but it's not going to be this quick. But make that change today. If in fact you feel the need so great that you want to come before this lesson's complete, I'll complete it later. Because it's more important that you do what you need to do today at the time when you feel it in your heart than it is to keep some special order about the worship service. But you need to make that commitment that you would do that today. But going toward God is not where salvation is. Toward God doesn't get it done, does it? That's not where we should stop. Jonah didn't stop at just his decision to go toward God. Let's look at chapter 3. And I call this going with God. It would have been easier on Jonah here, as we've read about him so far, if he just obeyed in the first place. He'd had a kind of rough road so far, hadn't he? And so He finds himself now over at Joppa, which was west of where he would have started, and he needs to go east to Nineveh, and we see that road's going to be longer. But when Jonah decided to change directions and go toward God, he didn't stop until he was going with God. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Now the word of God came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from them, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. So this time, God gave the instruction, and Jonah obeyed without question. He began to work with God, trying to accomplish God's goals, not his own goals. In chapter 3 here, in the first few verses, let's consider what we learn. We see that what it means to go with God and to please Him. This chapter is the only one that doesn't really reveal any of Jonah's thoughts. Not that maybe that probably did matter to God, but really, no matter how great Jonah's resolve was when he was in the belly of the fish, no matter how much he wanted to change, no matter how many good intentions he had, that really wasn't going to do him any good if he didn't follow through and do exactly what God had asked of him. Jonah here was going with God. No doubt about it, he was doing what God wanted. He submitted his will to God by being obedient to God. What about you? Today, this very minute, are you going with God? Are you obeying Him in all that He asks of you? Jonah reacted in these points to accomplish God's goal, and one other thing, that God's word was effective. We'll learn later that Jonah understood that's probably what would happen. But going with God doesn't mean we have good intentions. In James chapter 1, verse 22, we all know that verse fairly well too, I think. James chapter 1, verse 22. "But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers." I think we missed this part at the end. "Who delude themselves." This verse tells us that if we only hear the word and we don't do it, that's a delusion. That means you and I, we can trick ourselves. We can think by hearing it and thinking about it, we're pleasing to God. And the word definitely says that's not the case. God's word needs to guide our direction. God has always required obedience, always required man to do, not to hear. In John chapter 3, verse 36, John the Baptist speaking here says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." So blessings come, one of those being the Holy Spirit, to those who obey. In Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 9, speaking of Jesus, "And having been made perfect, He became to those who obey Him the source of eternal life." Obedience is required for eternal life. The same that has always been true. God's always been trying to get man to go in one direction, His direction, going with God. Jonah only stays going with God for a short period. And we see in verse 4, he's going to go in a fourth direction. He will begin going beyond God. Had the story ended in chapter 3, would have been a wonderful ending. Jonah repented from his rebellious ways. He goes with God. He preaches the message and an entire city repents. But Jonah has a problem, doesn't he? Jonah's got a heart problem. And he could not stay with God. He had a different idea about how this story with the Assyrians should end. He did not think the Assyrians that lived in Nineveh deserved forgiveness, that they deserved mercy. We see now why Jonah fled and did not want to go to preach the first time he was told. The Assyrians were evil. They were an oppressive and abusive people. When they conquered nations, they would kill the men, the children, the women. They were very, very evil group of people. They ruled that area of the world at this time. And the prophet knew how they were. But Jonah knew about God, didn't he? He knew about God's forgiveness and that if these people would repent, He would forgive them. So he didn't want that for them. He knew God's word could, if he preached it, convince them to repent. He didn't want that for them. This is not what Jonah had in mind. Jonah went beyond God. Flip back to Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better than to me than life.'" Jonah went beyond what God was about what God wanted. His heart wasn't aligned with God's heart. His ways weren't aligned with God's ways. He wanted to judge these people. He thought that he was beyond God in knowing what had to be done. Jonah wanted a harsh judgment to fall on the terrible Assyrians. He was now angry with God for not punishing them, for not destroying them. His heart was filled with anger. He was refusing to continue to go with God in the work of Nineveh. Let's look in verse 5 then. See where Jonah's direction went. God said to him, verse 5. Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he sat and made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. He distanced himself from the work. He'd stopped going with God and went beyond God. He was distraught over this whole situation enough that he thought that he wanted to die. In verse 6 through 11, we see God trying to bring Jonah back. But remember, we're all going in some direction. Are you going beyond God in your life at times? There's perhaps maybe a brother or sister here today that will come forward and confess sin. And their desire to renew their commitment to go God's way. Would you be 100% supportive of that? Would you be forgiving? Or would you go beyond God and come up with your own judgment? Do we sometimes think we know how others should be judged? How many chances they deserve? I think I'm guilty of that at times. Let's look at verse 6 through the end of the chapter. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Noah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, for which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals?" We see God here trying to bring Jonah back to the correct direction, to be with him. God shows Jonah that he is the creator. He knows best. He's in charge. Not the one that's created. We don't get to be in charge. This book's a great one, showing God's boundless love and mercy. So much love and mercy for some of the worst people to be known to the Israelites at this time. So much love and mercy that a prophet would struggle to accept it. The life directions of Jonah. Jonah would go from God. He would get shown God's same mercy, and he would go toward God. We see that he'd follow through with his commitment and go with God. But ultimately, his bad attitude caused him to go against God and beyond God. This is where his direction ends, as far as we know. We're not told Jonah ever repents from this heart condition and gets his life going back with God. If you're not going with God this morning, change your direction. Get in alignment with God. He's the Creator. Commit to serve in His kingdom and get the hope of enjoying the blessings of heaven for eternity. There might be some in the audience that feel like they want to get with God, but they're not sure about how to do that. When we sing the invitation song, if you'll come forward and tell us that, we'll be glad to study with you and show you what the Bible says about getting with God and walking with Him and living our lives so that we can go to heaven. The baptistry has been made ready this morning for those who know what to do, for those who desire at this point to stop delaying, to make decision to go with God, be on His side. We see the judgment that can befall someone. In Jonah's case, it was in the depth of the sea and in the belly of the fish. But ours will be spiritual and much worse, in the depths of hell, if we don't accept Christ as our Savior and follow God's will. If you have a need this morning to publicly confess sin, to let your brothers and sisters know that you're renewing your will to do God's, renewing your commitment to do God's will, you can do that at this time too. But whatever your need, we ask that you please do not delay and do it this morning. Brother Chris, as we stand and sing. Have you